Wallow it!
The good love sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck? Yeah,
that's a swear word. All right, welcome back to Wallow on 95BFM. Before we continue, we just want to give you guys a reminder. If you have any thoughts on the tunes that we're playing today or our chat that we're about to have with Sam, please text us on 5395.
If you're feeling brave, please be brave and call us in at 09309-38789.
And without further ado, Sam.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so happy to be back and seeing you guys.
We're happy to have you here as well.
Oh, thank you.
You're just a familiar face that keeps coming back, and we want you to come back.
I would love to come back.
Yeah. So, like, the last time you came here was in November.
Yes.
Well, technically, she was here for Dun Dun, remember?
True. Oh. True. So, this is actually the third time you've been on the show.
Oh, yeah. Aw.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I'll make you, like, one of our most recurring guests, along with, I guess, like, Club Ruby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's an honor, because Club Ruby are an awesome band.
They are, yeah.
I actually bumped into Hon and Jade, who are the two front people, I suppose, of the band, like, yesterday.
Oh, true.
In Takapuna.
Oh, right.
True.
Random.
Cool. Anyway, so the subject of today, 2 weeks ago, you landed back in New Zealand after you spent 10 days in Korea with There's a Tuesday for their residency program with the Asia New Zealand Foundation. Can you tell us a bit about what happened in those 10 days and a little bit about your experiences in Seoul?
Yes, so this residency is called the Seoul Residency. Seoul is the capital of South Korea. And There's a Tuesday is a four-piece indie band. They got to go over to write, record, and collaborate in Korea. So the itinerary was amazing over just 10 days. First big day was going to Pendaport Rock Festival. And that was like the hottest day. But also, we saw even like British rapper like Little Sims, which was so fun. Like, we moshed hard there. And then I saw like some awesome like girl bands as well, like, called QWER, queer maybe? Like, QWER is like, you know, on your keyboard, Querity.
Oh, yeah, Querity. Yeah.
They're like into gaming.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But like, yeah. And I got a haircut because the band Touched, the girl singer, was amazing. And I was like, I want that haircut.
Oh, my
and
God.
And I got it a few days later.
You got a matching haircut.
So day one, an awesome rock festival, which had some EDM or rap as well. Going to a palace, like Yongbokgung Palace, really beautiful place. Also writing so the band would write and record just over one day with this Korean artist that we saw play at the festival. His name's Kim Song-ju. And a few days later, they would actually perform it live. Like, they just went straight in, even though it's like super fresh.
That's so cool.
And it was like a bilingual song, and it went so well.
Sweet.
In between that, there was some awesome like label meetings, like with this awesome K-Indies, like Korean indie, a huge place called Mound Media. Throughout like their whole like building, there were a lot of floors. And let me know if you have questions so far. A really interesting floor that I found was that they have like a virtual YouTuber floor. So that means producer. I know. Okay, if you think gorillas, you know, virtual or a producer with a virtual character.
Wow.
But they do like live streams and things, and they really engage with the audience. But it's a virtual face.
That's really popular though nowadays, right?
Like Twitch.
I didn't know how popular. I guess so.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you did all of that in like the first day when you guys landed to Korea. They just go straight and ham in.
Yeah.
Without questions asked.
There were like 150,000 people over 3 days at the first festival we went to.
Wow. Oh my God. You guys must have been like pumping, because from the videos on your stories and There's a Tuesday stories that you guys just went straight into it.
I think so.
Yeah. And it was really cool to see that, because like, the people who are Korean based are engaging with There's a Tuesday a lot as well, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, I actually was so impressed by first day of like the Korean culture, like respectful, and the way they line up and like clean their dishes and all that in the festival. And you like feel so safe. A funny story is that one of our cohort dropped their vape, and then the whole crowd in the mosh was like picking it up, and they're like, here's your vape, here's
nice.
Your vape. And then of course the person had to like be like, it's mine. Hand up.
Guilty feeling of claiming your vape in the mosh.
But like, the mosh was the most wholesome one I've ever seen.
Aww. Yeah. New Zealand needs to take notes.
And then like, flash forward to the final day where we had this like Spotify Korea concert at a venue. The band like we're trying out little Korean gestures, like this little cat ear thing, which is cute. Oh, or okay. this hand heart thing is kind of old news.
It is. They don't do it anymore.
They don't really do it anymore.
Oh no.
They might do this.
Because I still do it sometime.
I know. That, I did not see it happen.
I didn't know it was out of style.
It's out of style apparently that I've experienced. Yeah.
Like, what did they do now? You're doing the heart.
Yeah, they do a heart. Maybe if you've got a friend, you can.
Oh,
do
it. So it's like.
Oh yeah, they do that too. They do half a heart.
Or is it like you do one half of the heart and then your friend does the
other? Yeah, and if you don't have a friend, you just do it anywhere in your head, like JC did.
Oh, okay. No, because
or a cat ear like this.
I thought that was old news as well. Like that.
I saw that. Oh, like this.
Yeah. Like that? I thought that was old news.
I saw both ways, I think.
Oh.
So you guys got to check out a bit of the music scene in Seoul as well as doing like sort of like music businessy stuff.
With for sure. We did actually have a lot of downtime to explore the city. We stayed in a place called Hongdae.
Oh, which, Hongdae. Yeah.
Oh, you know, tell me what you know about it. Which is the capital, like the breathing ground of where K-Indie emerged after 30 years ago. K-pop and K-Indie came together. And all
in
these
Hongdae.
In Hongdae especially. And the awesome thing about Hongdae, if you think of like the endless nightlife of Southeast Asia, but like kind of on steroids in terms of live music, people are playing in the street, whether that's like just singing or not. Like you just walk in, there's people watching and like cheering them on.
That's awesome.
It was really, it was amazing.
Oh, I want to experience that. Just like live on the street.
Mm.
Oh. Sounds so cool.
What do you know about Hongdae?
Well, I went to Korea in 2019 and we went through Hongdae pretty briefly. And yeah, it's like kind of like the epicenter of like Korean indie music. They have a lot of street performances, a lot of bars, you know, a lot of clubs in the area. You know, they have the infamous Hongdae boys who have been like trending on TikTok.
Yeah.
Can you explain that on the people who are listening? Because I have no idea what that is.
Well, apparently it's like dudes who hang outside the clubs in Hongdae and like try to hit on like foreign girls. You know, they ask them like, do you live alone? Are you open-minded? You know, and try
what?
To. You can. It's that. Apparently, that's the catchphrase. It's do you live alone and are you open-minded?
Oh, I've heard the do you live alone, but I didn't hear the open-minded part.
Yeah.
Are they like opening up to like polyamory or something?
No, I mean, you know, it's just a bunch of dudes like outside nightclubs trying to get in girls' pants, you know, like a universal phenomenon, but like in Seoul, specifically concentrated in Hongdae.
Oh,
that's
luckily
what I know.
I did not experience that. Maybe because like with all the girls in our group, we like dress real like masculine. Maybe. Even though if like we look foreign, maybe that was our defense mechanism without knowing
it. I don't know, I've just seen it on TikTok. Like I didn't have
Hongdae
experience.
Boys sounds like a boy band though.
Hongdae boys. That's what I was initially thinking as well. Do you think that since you're, because you guys had like a chauffeur, right? Do you think that would have been the case when you guys would have just like gotten away from the bad side of Hongdae?
We didn't actually have like a chauffeur, but we had like people who would host us to at certain events at CJ Cultural Foundation, which is kind of the big fan of Seoul, like big fan, and CJ really did hook up there because they have many similarities. Sorry, what was the question?
No, my question was like, did you guys just have like a chauffeur that showed you guys the good parts rather than like the bad parts?
Well, like who was showing you around Korea basically? Oh, like Seoul, sorry, when you guys were there.
We had like shout out Sharon from CJ Cultural Foundation. She like showed us around the festival, some awesome like cafe spot as well. But then I'd say mostly it's just like us figuring out what we want to do after or in between things. I don't know what's the bad side of Hongdae.
We don't need to get into the bad side.
We do not need to go into that.
One thing I really liked was that because Korea's really into baseball.
Oh,
we went
true.
To a bar that has baseball sized pints and we figured out it's the equivalent of an 1.5 pints.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay.
So not as like, you know,
like.
But it was really fun to finish in. Okay. Like, well, whoopsh.
Yeah. So how would you say the scene in Seoul like contrasts with, you know, our own music scene here in Tamaki Makoto?
I would say it just feels like endless and so vast over there.
Right.
In an inspiring way. And then here, I also do think we do have such a lovely, supportive atmosphere as well. But I guess you can find it on like only a few streets here. And I think we really would benefit from having a huge nightlife. Like people, like, and even like our venues and bars that are like kind of, some of them closing down.
Wow.
If we had like the value, the cultural value, like infrastructure-wise of bars and venues and clubs, that would be incredible.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's something we can collectively trying to figure out how we can
just unionize about the music scene.
How do we like transform K Road into Hongdae? I don't know.
That's a hard question. Yeah. How would you? I think you need to lead it, guys.
Oh yeah. So how did the audiences in Seoul receive this a Tuesday? How did they react to some of their stuff?
They were actually so wholesome, and they like really appreciated any kind of like Korean slogan or just like engaging with the crowd. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like it was like they were like, ah, yay, especially when they did the little cat gesture.
Oh,
or they were trying to like learn some of the lyrics as well. Like, right. I could see some people like looking up the band.
So they say like, "감사합니다," and then the crowd would be like, "Wah!"
A little. Maybe not just to that word, but like to maybe the gestures more than anything.
Yeah. So you mentioned that there's a Tuesday. They were collaborating with some artists while they were there, right?
Yeah, just one called Kim Song-ju, and he has a full band. But this guy is awesome. He's won a few awards, and he came up from the same kind of programs from the CJ Cultural Foundation. But like, he's like indie rock. And he like really likes baseball comics, so some of his songs are about manga or like baseball as well.
Right, right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that baseball was
so chill dude though.
I didn't know baseball was so popular in Korea, because I know it's popular in Japan.
Yeah,
but I thought that Korea was more of like a football kind of country.
I just saw mostly baseball, I guess.
True. Yeah. So the artist that you mentioned that they collaborated with,
Kim Song-ju.
In the same way that There's a Tuesday went to Seoul, do you think that they might end up bringing him back to New Zealand for audiences to experience him here?
Well, yeah, I think the whole like crux of the residency is to have cross-cultural and like going over to each other's country thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say not at this point, but like that is definitely on the table and the goal.
Cool. Yeah.
I also want to know what from you two, like what you would have wanted to get from going over there.
Oh yeah, because we both applied for.
Oh my gosh.
But you're the one who got it. No, but we were so happy for you, honestly. Like we felt like if anyone should get it,
you're the most qualified out of. No, because it makes
one spot. So.
Yeah, no, but
so
it
we can bring it back, like this grant for a journalist to go over.
Mm. I was just about to say, like, it makes sense that you would go because one, we need a representation that is Asian and as well who is qualified to interact with a band that knows the band quite distinctively, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, and my opinions about it is that to answer your question,
yeah, what did you want to get out of that, and especially if it's going to happen again, which actually the Asia New Zealand Foundation were really impressed by the response for a journalist to go. They want to keep going.
For me, I would take the opportunity for granted in a hybrid way, like as an artist and as a journalist, because like I get the insight of what an artist is looking forward to in an international reach, and then also writing about it as well as getting the knowledge of that to do an upskill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but basically to summarize it, I would use it as a way to upskill rather than to.
No, I think that actually, so I want to mention that I won't know how the band was chosen, but like, I also think it's so valuable for this kind of grant to choose both a journalist and a band who would get so much out of it. So I don't even think for myself that I got a lot out of it, and not even like, it's not about being qualified. It's like caring and like wanting to learn make new connections.
Actually, yeah, that's the next question. Like what are your sort of like reflections, you know, or like what did you learn like coming away from that experience?
As a music journalist, when I came back, I felt so grateful to be in this kind of niche role. And then as soon as I got back, I like met up with two music journalists that I know, Danica Bryant and Martin Pepperell. They both live in Wellington, so I just hadn't met them before. So I got coffee with both of them like separately, and I got to know them. I just felt very like, oh, I should protect the music journalism that we have in New Zealand. And then seeing you guys again, I'm like, oh, feels nice.
Yeah. So it kind of like cemented your identity as like a music journalist.
Actually, yeah, it did. I felt really like, this is so special. Especially music, like it's so sick.
That's awesome, yeah.
It like brings people together. Honestly, it's cheesy, but it does.
It really does, and your reputation does. You know, sorry, is there someone here?
No, I think I might be fiddling with.
Is it?
Oh
wait, focus. Sorry. Focus.
Yeah.
No, like again, like as I was saying, like your reputation, like does like recede to you as well. Like it does, your name does go around, and it, You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't.
You don't. So all I'm saying is that, like you.
But it's okay. It's fine.
Just to wrap up what I'm trying to say is that you're making waves and it's good.
Oh. And I hope the waves, like, okay, it's an awkward metaphor, like, creates like a tide for people. That's like what I wanted to bring back, is to, like, be a person that can give recommendations for these things that come up. Mm. And like, I wanted to do a really good job so that this kind of grant happens again, to be honest. Yeah. Mm.
Well, going forward and shifting away from the topic of the Seoul residency, before you left for Korea, or while you were in Korea, you also celebrated the first release of Chicken Rice Date, which you shot at Lim Chua Food Court and had a launch party for at Pitt Street. So could you tell us about about the show once again, even though you've talked about it before?
Yeah, on Walao, thank you so much.
How the launch went as well.
Yes, and unfortunately I was away during the actual premiere. Chicken Rice Day is a video parody series that I and my friend Dun Dun filmed. She's a musician. We filmed a pilot episode so far where we're putting a queer twist and an Asian twist on this. So creatives on K-Road especially being platformed. And I think we were really amazed at the response so far, especially, I guess, view-wise, but, like, on YouTube. But also just the people we talk to, that it seems to resonate. Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Have you watched it yet, Otto?
I watched a little bit of it. You know, you were talking with Danny about, you know, her debut song as a solo artist. You guys were flirting a little bit in the start of the episode.
Trying to.
Yeah.
You had, like, the energy of, well... I'm not sure who had the energy of Amelia from, like...
Yeah, we thought about, like, should we be putting on that persona? But I guess I chose not to, but I am putting on a little bit of persona myself that comes from me.
I didn't even notice it, though, but, like...
Really?
No, because, like, your personality is just very versatile, and it's very seamless to me. Well, I don't know about the people who don't know you, but to me, it just really seamless to see you on that screen talking the way that you did and the topics. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's so seamless. Like, you can't even notice that.
So, yeah, two things is the response on YouTube has been amazing, and from the people we know and personally. The awesome thing about the premiere itself, which was a physical one, was on K-Road for Fan Festival. Food, Art, Music is what it stands for. Where they use some like little CRT TVs, you know, like kind of old TVs all put together. And there was a performance from Dun Dun, my co-host. And also, I guess I put in a little virtual speech because I was overseas.
And
we screened her music video.
Didn't Jeff Ong perform? Kind of?
I'm not sure about for that one. Maybe
it must have been for something else.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but he's a legend.
Yeah. Shout out Jeff Ong.
Yeah, I'll tell him. Yeah. The last thing, is that we are currently applying for funding for New Zealand Air. We've tried a few other places, but it's because we don't really fit between documentary or like non-fiction. And I think it's been a bit harder for a screen project. But we feel so confident that's going to happen eventually. Mm. And I hope to have either like both of you on. We actually have a list of people.
Just gonna ask you about that. You know, the first because the first episode was you and Danny.
Yes.
So I was gonna say, like, who will be the next people that you date on the show? Which guests? Will it be like you and Danny like interviewing like the guests?
Yeah, we wanted to have both of us to like introduce the co-hosts.
Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll take turns of like. Sometimes maybe we should do a thruple thing, like me and Danny with someone. Who knows? Like, why not? An interesting one that did come up who wants to be on the show is Chloe Swarbrick.
That would be awesome.
I just, like, went on one of the posts for Chicken Rice Day. I commented, like, you in for chicken? And she's like, I can only eat fries, but I'm down. Like,
oh, is she vegan?
And it's a day. I think so, probably. Oh. Yeah. Green
that makes
party,
so
vegan.
Much sense.
Nice. But, like, as much as I admire her, it's that she's actually the like paragon of K-Road, like of uplifting creativity and small businesses there. So I think she is one of the most important people to try talk to.
Awesome. Yeah. This. Was she there at the launch? If you know.
I don't think so, but I know she's keen.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for telling us about your experiences in Korea and Chicken Rice Day.
Thank you so much for being so interested in little things that I do.
No, honestly, like you said, we want to uplift any creative outlet.
That's you guys, yeah.
Aww. Well, you also shared us a playlist, yes. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we have some more tracks to go into.
Oh, thank you.
The rest of the show. The first one I'm going to ask you about is this track called Gonna Die by a band called Can't Be Blue. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, Can't Be Blue were part of the final concert that There's a Tuesday were part of. Mm. Can't Be Blue kind of did step in as like the openers as well as There's a Tuesday. Can't Be Blue were this awesome group where there's a bit of like hybrid genres going on. And I really liked that they all had like different colored hair as well.
Nice.
Mm,
like okay. Like the rainbow colors, pride.
Like
maybe
like,
even like
K-pop.
Platinum white vibes.
Ooh, so a K-pop well. Idol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Gonna Die by Can't Be Blue.